Bibles, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter number 24. Won't you stand, please? Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for as in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for what we've been listening to. We thank you for our hearts have been revived and stirred and helped and encouraged and strengthened. I praise your name for what you have done for us today. I thank you, Lord, for every bit of the fellowship, joy in our hearts. And Father, thank you that we could think together, serving the Lord, putting you first, letting you be God in our lives. And I pray for those who are here tonight and know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Lord and Savior, that you'll speak to their heart and deal with their lives and help them. I pray for those who are here tonight and their lives have grown cold. I pray you'd speak to them and deal with them and help us to preach now. Lord, realizing the fact without you, we can do nothing. And so we come to you in Jesus' name, and very best we know how, asking you to help us to preach. And I pray the power of the Holy Spirit take the word of God, speak to every heart, every life. We'll give you glory and praise and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. Let me say just a word before I begin preaching tonight. Brother Jeremy called me from Uganda a while ago. He had to take, the guy finally got the vehicle in. Then he had to take it to Uganda to get it worked on a little bit because they didn't have the means to do it in South Sudan. So they're there with a missionary family for a couple of days at least, and hopefully get it done that quick and back to the work. But you pray for them. They're getting settled in a little bit more day by day, but it's difficult. And they're endeavoring to do so and having good services, and but got a long way to go. A lot of things. He said they do everything backwards over there. I'd hate to think I had to go to a new culture and learn it and how they do and try to fit in and try to preach them the truth. And so he's got his work cut out for him, but you pray for him. He's still wanting to do that God wants him to do, so praise the Lord for that. I just wanted to share that with you because he wanted me to tell everybody hello, and I keep praying for him, asking God to help him. Tonight I want to speak on this subject, the unspeakable or the unexpected, not unspeakable. He's unspeakable too. I've never been able to speak everything I wanted to speak about Jesus. Never said everything I wanted to say about him. But the unexpected Christ. We're talking about being ready. And Matthew 24 and 25, they're dealing with this subject of the Lord's coming. And it's intermingled with his coming in rapture and coming in glory to set up a kingdom. And so this is in verse 44 is really kind of the crux of the matter is, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And Jesus Christ is coming back again just any day now. Maybe before this day is over, Jesus will come. We have preached about his coming, thought about his coming, looked for his coming, expecting his coming. But I wonder how much we really expect it. But I want you to know tonight he is coming back. Yes, sir. He is coming back. What a glorious day that'll be. Talk about a homecoming. There'll be a homecoming in that day. We get together over on the other side. I was thinking about a lot of folk that we've known through the years have gone on. They're already there. They outran us to that place. But as was said this morning about Joshua, some elders overlived, or they lived longer than. We've had some, I've overlived some folk that were close to us, outlived some, but one of these days we're going to all get out of here. I'd like to all get together and go. Amen. These ladies are planning a ladies' retreat, and they're all going to get together and go to that ladies' retreat. Wouldn't it be good to get together and go to heaven before that happens? how we're going to get together? By the power of the Lord, amen. Jesus will come, the shout will be made, the trump will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's a lot of people going through a lot of problems and difficulties today, been mentioned. But he said, comfort one another with these words, that he's coming back. He's coming back to get us, going to change us. And if you're around a cemetery, I don't believe graves are going to burst open. I believe they're just going to come out. I don't believe we're going to knock holes in the roof. I believe we're just going to go through it. When Jesus appeared to the disciples there, after the resurrection, he didn't knock a hole in the wall. He just appeared. The Bible says he just appeared to them. And he didn't open a door. He didn't go through a window. He didn't make a hole in the wall. He just came. Boy, in a glorified body, we're in for something great. You think about a glorified body going through a wall and not making a hole in it, not stopping you from going. And when we get ready to go through the air, the devil's going to do everything he can to stop us from going, but I'm glad he can't stop us. Because Jesus will see that we have an escort to go. Amen. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is going to go with us. Amen. You remember that servant who went to get the bride for Isaac? He stayed with her till she saw him coming. Amen. Thank God. He'll stay with us till he gets us there. And an angelic host will be around us. And boy, what a time that's going to be. Amen. The devil, he'll have to step aside and say, I can't stop the bride of Christ from going. And I'm glad. Go ahead. Hey. Amen. Praise God, brother. That's good. That's good shouting. I praise God for it. Amen. When you and I get a new body, we're going to have a time. We're going to be hard to catch in heaven. Amen. Y'all think we're about gone down here now. You wait till we get to heaven. Amen. And the glorified body and can't be stopped. And it's going to be a time, sure enough. Now, as we look at chapters 24 and 25 in Matthew, we're not going to look at all that. We're going to look at this one word and try to talk about an unexpected Christ. But the key word here is ready, being ready. Are we ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, I'm saved. You can be saved and not be ready like you ought to be ready. Now, you're ready for the right as far as the being changed and going. You're ready for that. But are you ready to meet the Lord? And I tell you what, that's a sobering thought. The new glorified body is going to be wonderful, but it's a sobering thought to think that one day I shall stand before him that loved me so much that he gave himself for me. He left glory and came down here and died on Calvary's cross and was buried and rose again for me. And one day I'm going to stand before him and answer to him for my stewardship. My faithfulness or unfaithfulness unto him. That's a sobering thought. That makes you think a long time. And I pray that God would help all of us with that. But if you're not saved tonight, I pray God will speak to your heart, bring you to Christ that you might be saved. And then all of us might look at ourselves and let God help us and show us what he wants to show us tonight. The unexpected Christ. We're going to talk about the unexpected Christ of history tonight just a little bit in a minute. But let me say this. In the Old Testament, the prophets, as they prophesied, they didn't fully grasp it all. They saw part, and as a study after the Testament was closed and the Jewish people studied the Old Testament, they missed the valley of the time of the church being saved and Gentiles being brought in, and they saw the mountain peaks. Prophecy. They saw that Jesus coming, the Messiah's coming, but they was looking for a Messiah to come and set up a kingdom. I'll get to that in a minute. But they didn't see the church, and at least they didn't realize it. They saw it. They didn't realize the Gentiles were going to be brought in, and that's what threw them so far off when it came the first time. They couldn't grasp it because it wasn't what they were expecting to be. I don't know what you're expecting in the second coming, but I know Jesus will come in power and great glory. And I know that we'll get out of here. I know he's not going to set up a kingdom right then. We're going to heaven. We'll be there while the seven-year tribulation goes on down here, and while the devil is being dealt with, and while unsaved being dealt with, and while the Jewish nation being dealt with, we'll be over on the other side. We'll be in heaven, enjoying heaven. Amen. Amen. But 7 years, I'll be over with. We're coming back with him. We don't get to that tonight, but the unexpected Christ. And tonight, I don't know, when you came to church, did you come expecting that this may be the night Jesus would come? When you came this morning, did you come homecoming expecting, well, this could be the great day of the great homecoming? Do we really expect Christ to come? The unexpected Christ of history. We're going to look at his first coming and think about some things and try to bring that over and looking at the second coming. But the first time he came, they were looking for him to come in royalty. But he didn't come in royalty. He came in poverty. He came poor. He didn't come and born in a king's palace. He was poor in his life. Fact is, he's so poor, he said, the foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He owned no place, no home, no house. He didn't even own a donkey. Had to borrow one to come into town on. He didn't know a graveside. He had to borrow a tomb for 3 days. Didn't need it long anyway, but he didn't know. I guess he owned the clothes that was on his back, and probably someone had given those to him, and that's all that he had, as we know. We don't know that he had anything else because he said he didn't have anything else. We get wrapped up in things, but Jesus Christ, and that's what they were looking for. The Jewish people were expecting him to come in royalty. They expected a king. But he came not as a king, but as a servant. He came to die and as one for us. So he came in that way, and they didn't realize it. They didn't know what, they wasn't expecting that. And they were looking for one to come in honor, but he came in humiliation. He was humble, in humble beginnings, born in a manger. Fact is, he born in a barn. If you please, a place where they kept their animals. And a manger is a place where you feed animals. A trough that you feed them out of. And they undoubtedly had hay, some straw, or some kind of like that in that. And that's where they laid him. They didn't have a nice bassinet or something to lay him in, or they had no baby carriage to put him in. They laid him in that manger. And there he lay. That wasn't what the Jews were looking for. They wasn't looking for that. They wasn't expecting that. But that's how Jesus came the first time. Unexpected. Now, they had the prophecy. They knew the prophecy. They had all of that, but they missed how he was really going to come. They missed the suffering of the Savior. I'm afraid today a lot of folk have missed the suffering of the Savior. I'm talking about now, present tense, while we're in this life. They've misrealizing that. They see, you see pictures of Jesus, and by the way, nobody knows what Jesus looked like. We do know that he was of Middle East in origin, so we know kind of olive skin color probably. He was a Jewish man. We know that much about him, but we really don't know what he looked like. We don't know where his nose was short or long, or whether he was good looking, bad looking. And the fact is, the Bible said he had nothing about him in Isaiah that would appeal to us. He's commonplace, common man, and I don't know what he looked like. But some people got pictures of him and think that's really what he looked like. That's him. Well, you don't know what he looked like, and I don't know what he looked like. But, oh, when we see him, we'll know him. Amen. When we get to see him, we'll know him. But here he is. But the Jewish people, they looking for somebody to come and really be of importance, come in high class. But that's not how Jesus came at first time. The unexpected Christ didn't come in first class. Fact is, he didn't come second class. He come about the lowest class you can come in and laid in a manger, and there he lay. And so no honor. He came in humiliation. But then power. They were looking for somebody to come in power. They were looking for a powerful king, a powerful somebody to come. That he came in weakness. Now, when I say he came in weakness, I do not mean that he was weak. He had all power in heaven and in earth. He could do whatever he wanted to do. But in weakness, as far as man was concerned, man looked at him, he looked weak. Because he didn't come boisterous. He didn't come killing giants. He didn't come down in the Roman Empire. He didn't come in that way. He came in very meekly, very lowly. And they saw that as weakness. But I want you to know Jesus came just exactly how he prophesied to come. And he came born of a virgin just like God said he would. And as far as the Jews were concerned, disgraceful birth, but as far as God was concerned, wonderful time. When the angels came to announce that he'd been born, when the shepherds were told about him, he went to worship him. When those wise men of the East came to worship him, I want you to know he was being worshiped and adored as he ought to have been, but the main thrust of the Jewish people, they didn't see that. They didn't grasp that. They were missing the unexpected Christ. They had some anticipation of a coming king, but not how he came. When Christ come, he was unexpected the way he came. And they were not expecting that coming in the weakness that he came in. But let me say this also. They were looking for him to come in power and to establish a kingdom. They wanted him instead of have an army and do away with the Roman Empire. They were looking for somebody to come that could put the Romans out of business and let him, whoever the Messiah was, rule and reign on earth. They saw the kingdom age. They saw that in the Old Testament, but they missed seeing the church age. And now he's unexpected. They wasn't expecting him to come like he came, and he did. Tonight, I don't know how you're expecting the rapture to take place. I don't know what you're looking for, but I know he's going to come very quickly, very suddenly. He's going to come unexpectedly. He's going to come, say, when men expect him not. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. There'll be two women grinding for meal, one will be taken, the other left. And so I don't know what you think is going to happen, but there's going to be something left here. And the more, when we really get down to business about that and thinking about our loved ones, our friends, those that we care about, we don't want them to be left here. We want them to go with us. And so we'll need to be concerned about them enough that we'll want to witness to them and invite them and pray for them and try to reach them and do everything we can with God's help to reach them for Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And so then power, set up a kingdom. I've thought about this so often. Jesus, not one time did I find anywhere in the New Testament that Jesus ever said anything derogatory about the Roman government. Now, I may miss something here, but he drove some of the religious people out of the temple one time, but I can't find that he didn't march, he didn't have a protest going. But what the day we've got to have a protest about everything. They didn't have a protest going. He didn't say, now we're going to march down in Jerusalem and we're going to let them know that we're not going to stand for this Roman government. I'm the king. No. Didn't have none of that. He didn't come to do that. They were looking for him to come in power to establish a kingdom, but he came in love to establish a spiritual kingdom. They were looking for a literal kingdom, a physical kingdom. They were looking for something that they could see down here and be a part of down here. But Jesus didn't come that way. He came as in love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I say hallelujah. I'm glad, glory to God, one day, because we're saved, we get to go to heaven and get to praise God, get to be a part of the rapture. I'm going to be a part of the rapture whether I go through the grave or don't go through the grave. If I go through the grave, I'll be part of the rapture because I'll come out glorified before you are. How about that? But if I'm living, I'm going to be part of the rapture. And those other folk that's gone on before me, they're going to beat me out. But it'll be so sudden, it won't be any time lapse hardly at all. It's twinkling of an eye, and that's quicker than you can bat your eye. And so that being that quick, we won't have time to think about it. We won't have time to get ready for anything. It's just going to happen, and we're gone. I could be preaching tonight, And all of a sudden, those that are saved, all of us, boom, it's over with. Those not saved will be looking around and saying, what happened? Well, preacher, they'll know what happened. I'm not sure they will. The Bible says those that's heard the gospel and those that have that opportunity and did not do anything about it, God turn them over a reprobate mind, let them believe a lie, they might be damned because they would not believe the truth. Be those that would not believe the truth that will go to hell not realizing what has happened because of the fact God would blind their minds, their hearts would be blinded to the real truth of what's really going on. I'm glad, thank God, tonight our minds are open to, and eyes have been opened spiritually to see what's happening, and we can know what's going to happen. Thank God in the rapture, not all the details, not every minute detail, but we know we're going to be changed, going to happen suddenly, and we're going out of here. What we do for Jesus, we got to do it now. And we, time's running out. The clock's a-ticking. It's going to be midnight hour before we know it, and we're going to be out of here and gone. But oh, men, women, boys, and girls that know not Jesus Christ, my heart's cry to you is, come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus. Let him save you. Let him birth you in the family of God. Make it right tonight. Well, preacher, I'm having some doubts. I'm having some fears. Well, make it right tonight. Get it right. Be ready for the coming because he's coming. But let me say this about that first coming, that unexpected coming. The Jews, as they looked at it, all they saw the Messiah doing was to come and deal with them. They didn't think the promises of God had anything to do with anybody else. They missed the Gentile bride. They couldn't see that. And you remember when Peter was being dealt with about that and the sheets were let down and Peter was in a trance and God was getting him ready to go to Cornelius and preach to him a Gentile household and get him saved. Peter was one of those Jewish people and he didn't understand that. But God let those sheets down on it was unclean animals and things Jewish people wasn't supposed to eat. And God said to him, rise, kill, and eat. He said, not so. Nothing unclean's ever touched my lips. He wouldn't do that. But did that three times. Then God was showing him that God said, what I've cleansed, don't you call unclean. Right. Now, that's not word for word, but that's close to it. And I'm glad, praise God. He showed the Apostle Peter that he had come to save Gentiles as well as Jews. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And we're Gentiles. But all praise God, we're all one in Christ Jesus. And he's neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ. We're just God's children. Amen. Praise God. But the Jews didn't see that. And the Jews didn't see that Jesus, the Messiah, would come and save the Gentile crowd. But aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God let us get in on it? Amen. Aren't you glad not just Jews can get saved? But oh, praise God, I'm glad God took an old Gentile and saved him one day. Thank God, amen. You know how a Jew gets saved? Same way Gentile gets saved. We all get saved the same way. I praise God and thank God for it and rejoice in that great truth that we know. Then they were expecting the Messiah to come, set up that kingdom of power, and have glory and all that, which someday he'll do. But they were looking for it then, and they were looking for a Messiah that would live forever. But our Messiah came, but he had to die first. They couldn't see their Messiah dying. They couldn't see the cross. They couldn't grasp the truth of their Messiah that would go to the cross and pay a sin debt for them. They couldn't see that. But oh, praise God, Jesus came to die on the cross of Calvary. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to seek and save Jews only. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Gentile was lost. You were lost. Now, Jews are lost. But thank God Jesus came for everybody. That everybody might be saved. And the children up here singing a while ago, red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. It doesn't make any difference who they are, what part of the world they're from. God loves them all. God cares about them all. I'm thankful he does. That got me in. It'll get you in too. Are you ready? He was unexpected. The majority of the Jewish people did not expect the Messiah to come as he did. I'm glad those few shepherds out there on the hillside believed those angels. I'm glad there's a few wise men came. They wasn't many that were really looking for him to come. They wasn't expecting him to come like he came. But oh, he came anyway. I don't know what you're expecting, but he's coming anyway. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege tonight to think about the rapture. Think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, unexpected Christ. Tonight our world is not expecting Christ. Lord, our nation's not expecting Christ. Father, there are those here tonight that's not expecting Christ. But I pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit, God would do a work in their hearts, that they would see, open their eyes spiritually, help them to grasp the truth, help them get a hold of the truth that one day Jesus will come. One day they will have to meet Jesus. Lord, those that know not Christ as their Savior, I pray they would see and realize and know they need to be ready. Father, tonight, people in this house that's unsaved, I pray they'd want to come and be saved, born in the family of God before it's eternally too late. Help those who you're dealing with their hearts and they have doubts and fears, and I pray, God, they come and yield it all to you. Father, have your way. Help us to realize, Lord, that salvation is for whosoever will. Help us as we look for the Lord Jesus Christ to realize he's going to take us out of here and take us home. Help those tonight. Lord, my heart cries that you'd help those that know not Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen.